It's kind of ironic that we celebrate a feast called Christ the King, because there was nothing royal about him at all. He didn't seem to understand what royalty meant or what it was supposed to be all about, at least in human terms, in worldly terms. Because he did everything just the opposite. He didn't have riches. He didn't have a lot of territory. He didn't have a lot of power. He did, but he didn't use it. He didn't have a lot of money. And we always associate royalty with stuff like that. But he didn't have any of that. But his sense of kingship was something totally different. And his sense of kingship was a servant, to be a servant, to reach out and care. He's motivated totally by love, by compassion. It's the nature of God to love, and he can't do anything but love. And so that is what motivates him for everything that he does. So that he can't leave somebody who is sick just be there and do nothing to help them out. He can't see somebody who's hungry and not give them something to eat. He can't see somebody who doesn't have any clothes, has no dignity, and just leave it at that. He has to do something about that. That's the nature of God. That's what he does. And interestingly, the kingdom that he came to establish on earth, where he is king, is exactly that kind of kingdom. It's a kingdom where he shows us the way. It's a servant kingship, a servant leadership. And his care, his kingdom, he wants to be a kingdom where everybody is welcome. Nobody is excluded. Even the rotten, the bad, the evil, the hateful, he doesn't want anybody excluded. He wants them all one day to be with him in that eternal kingdom. But it's always a choice that we have to make. It's a parable. This is a parable that Jesus tells, a story with a purpose. And the purpose is to tell us, be ready, because you don't know when God is going to come to you and say, it's time for you. What did you do? Did you make good choices, or did you choose not to do anything? Did you choose to make your king, make your Lord and king in your lifetime money or power or influence or whatever it may be, and as a consequence, neglect to really care for other people? It requires that we grasp something of the mind of Jesus. It's not easy for us to do because we're a long way off from him. But every one of us has something of God, something of the divine within us. And so we have to somehow or another get into the mind of Jesus and make it our own. It's in that way that we can begin to serve as fully and as completely as we are capable of doing, obviously, because of the grace that he gives to us. So he makes it possible for us to be motivated by love. But it's not something that happens easily for us. We have to get out of the way of selfishness, self-centeredness, that other things are more important, that certain people are important, certain people are not important. We have to learn to be motivated by love so that somehow or another we can see and want good for every person. We have to get into the mind of Christ to truly be functioning with him in making this kingdom of God on earth work. So try to get yourself into that mind. I used to have when I was a lot younger, and I was pastor of a parish, and I had a deacon. He was a transitional deacon, not like Jack. Jack's permanent deacon. But anyway, he was a transitional deacon, so it was like his pastoral year. He was still in the seminary, and this was his year of deacon formation, pastoral formation. And what I found interesting about the young man He had an extraordinary concern, and it seemed to just come out of him naturally. There was no, he didn't talk about it much, he just did it. If a kid was in trouble, he was right there. He would go to the prison, or he'd go to the detention centers, wherever they may be. He would be right there for them. And it was like a natural response that he had this compassion for kids who got in trouble. I thought, well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens to him after he's ordained. And so anyway, he was ordained and worked in a variety of parishes and stuff. But essentially, what he was still interested in was taking care of people, young people, who got in trouble. So he ends up in Chicago, and he starts what he calls a ministry of reconciliation. And he gets these young people, when they're in trouble, when they're before they are sentenced or anything of that nature, or once they have served whatever time they need, he tries to get them. And they come together, and he works training them. He has a couple other priests working with him. He has a sister, a nun, who works closely with him all the time. And they work with these young people to try to get them to think in terms of what is socially responsible, that there is a God, there is goodness in them, that they don't have to be the hoods on the street, you know, that create all kinds of problems and terror and even death. It was interesting, one of the things that he has done with that group, and he's had quite a bit of success with it, thankfully, is that he gets them together with the parents of victims so that they have to hear a parent say how their son was shot on the street for no reason, or that their son was involved in a gang and ended up in prison, and all. So they have to face-to-face dealing with parents who have suffered the loss of a son or a daughter or a spouse, and to deal with the young people who have created that kind of chaos in their lives. Somehow or another, he has that compassion for people that we would kind of like write off, avoid, stay out of my way. But that's what he does, and he successfully. We need more people like that who can see the good in people. Look at Mother Teresa. How do you think that she could do what she did without having this tremendous sense of love for God and for God's people? And that somehow in these starving babies, in these starving people, that she could somehow see something of God in them, and to love that God who is in them enough to extend her compassion, her love, her generosity, whatever she had for them. So when we talk about this kingship, it's not about this earthly royal stuff that we think of. Christ is trying to tell us there is a different kind of kingdom that is going to be very successful. It's going to last for all eternity. And he's invited every one of us to be a part of that. So I guess we need to say to ourselves sometimes, what do I really do as a member of that kingdom? Do I really try to understand why Christ cares about every human being, even the worst criminal on the face of the earth? He still loves them, because there is something of God in that person. That person may be totally unaware of that, but Jesus was able to see that. And say, people who have that kind of extraordinary compassion, like my friend, like Sister Mother Teresa, like so many other people on the face of this earth, that somehow or another, no matter what the struggle, what the difficulty, what the pain is, they are still willing to look out and help in whatever way they can, because they see that somehow God is with that person. So we can't really write anybody off. We can't really write anybody off. And Jesus doesn't want to write anybody off. He wants everybody to be able at the end of time to come together where we can say, yes, Lord, I did these things. I did care for the poor. I did care for the hungry. I did care for those who had no homes. I reached out. I tried to reach your people and serve you in them somehow. So I think this Sunday is a good time for us to kind of reflect on that a little bit. You know, it is a parable. Like I say, it's a story that has a purpose. So all the details are not the essential. It just gives us some idea of what they might be talking about. But the ultimate thing is that one day, each and every one of us will stand before our God, and he will look at us with love and say, did you help establish the kingdom? Did you have time even a little bit? Or what do we have to offer him when we come to that day? So, you know, we like to say, well, when you get all these other things in my life taken care of, then I'll work on that a little bit. Well, what about now? What about now? The kingdom of God is among us now. We are part of that kingdom of God here on earth now. And if we don't do something, what are we waiting for? What if in the meantime God says, I want you to come home now? And you say, wait, I got a few things I want to get done yet. I got to get the good side of my life straightened out a little bit. And you say, no, your time is now. What have you been doing? You know, the parables that we've read the last few Sundays about the bridesmaids who didn't bring oil for the celebration, so they got stuck outside. You know? And he just kind of reminds us that, you know, nobody knows when God is ready for us. Now, we all think we know when we're going to be ready for God, but it doesn't always work out that way. What he asks of us is that take on the mission that I give to you, but do it now. Do it now. Look with compassion at other people. Don't be exclusive of people. He said they all belong. I created them all. I dwell in every one of them. They don't have life without me giving them life. Who are you to say, oh, they're not worthy. These are not worthy. They're going to go to hell anyway. Nobody knows that. Nobody knows what's in the heart of a human being except God. And maybe sometimes ourselves, but not always. So what this Sunday calls us to, the last Sunday of the year, the Feast of Christ the King, is to that we adore, we honor, we praise, we thank our King. But remember the kind of king that he is. He is a king who loves, who is motivated totally by love, by compassion, by care, by tenderness, by patience, by understanding. And he said, I would like for you to be that kind of a member of my kingdom. Like every king, I'm sure, that ever existed on the face of the earth was looking for loyalty and dedication from his people. I think Christ would say, I would like to see something like that too. But just remember the kind of kingdom that you're working for.